The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. And we're streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Be sure to like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and your school may be the next one right here in our spotlight. This week, our edition takes us around some issues that come up in school and some innovative programs on how to deal with some of those things, about helping kids focus and maybe getting them more centered around and better attention on some subject matter, or how better to succeed with dealing with all the stimuli that young children are involved in. And we have the pleasure of speaking with Steve Antirante. He's a mindfulness meditation coach from Solutions. Is that correct, Steve?
Yes, sir.
All right. Welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. So, Steve, I'm going to start off with, tell me about this program. You know, who it benefits, how you got started in it, what it does. Give me the, you know, I know nothing about this, so educate me.
Well, sure. First off, thank you so much for having me here.
My pleasure.
Mindfulness in general is a rising trend nationally with corporations and namely school districts that are beginning to embrace the positive advantages of bringing mindfulness into the schools with the children, with the teachers, with the administrators, and even with the parents. An opportunity for people to spend some time quieting their minds and distancing from the complexities of their life. And we all know right at this time, kids are very challenged, particularly here in Long Island with Common Core and expectations. And then you throw in peer pressures and perhaps family issues or whatever.
Maybe the socioeconomic conditions that they're living in as well. I mean, we have a lot of we talk about this on our show a lot. We have a lot of poverty here in Long Island, and it's kind of like, you know, the best kept secret around some folks in upstate New York. Just picture Gold Coast, Nassau County, or the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of socioeconomic conditions that, you know, contribute to before the kid comes into the classroom.
That's,
you know,
right.
There's a lot of issues they're dealing with. So you raise an interesting point about clearing the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look at my own children, and I'm president of a board of education for a local school district. And the amount of stimuli that kids are constantly being, I guess, bombarded with, you know, I get exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine, you know, how they are able to stay focused. Is that part of what you're trying to deal with?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at all the stimuli and everybody so entrenched in texting and social media and constantly with their heads down looking at their phones, walking down the street with their heads down.
It's big business for chiropractors because those necks have really got to be messed up.
Oh, it certainly is. So, you know, the kids and even adults at this point are very adrenalized and stimulated.
How many likes did I get on a picture? And
exactly.
Kids stress out over that.
Exactly. So mindfulness is an opportunity to go from multitasking to monotasking.
Hmm.
So we utilize techniques to take you out of the thinking mind, which is almost like a gerbil in a wheel going round and round and round. It's just consistently thinking about this, thinking about that.
Right.
And worrying is imagining things that haven't even happened yet. And most everyone does that. And when it's compounded, it causes anxiety and stress and physical ailments. So with mindfulness, we're bringing the concept to children, to adolescents, to parents. Personally, I work with groups at Family Service League here in Long Island, Mary Haven Center for Hope, just varying levels of corporate employees and now children and teachers, to allow them to be able to spend 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes quieting the mind by monotasking, literally just distancing from thought and allowing yourself to anchor within with your breath and to that peace of mind that exists within all of us. It's an opportunity to take a little break. And what it does, it stabilizes physically the blood pressure, the mind activity, the brain activity, the nervous system, so on and so forth. So in some of the school districts here in Long Island, they're utilizing mindfulness very successfully and noticing measurable responses in the kids' attentiveness, their ability to get better grades, their kindness towards others, and being concerned. So kids are coming into schools and they're taking taking five classrooms at a time in Syosset, and they go right to the auditorium and they spend 10 or 15 minutes in mindfulness. And they rotate Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, that sort of thing.
What
and
are some of the things they'll do within those 10 minutes?
Within those 10 or 15 minutes, they're guided. And this is what I do and the staff that I work with. We teach them how to pay attention within. Some of the younger ones, it's easy for them to recognize by putting their hand on their heartbeats, where they recognize their heartbeat. We use guided imagery about them thinking about positive things, things that make them feel happy. So if they're coming in off the bus and they're all charged up and they've had a tough night, or they're worried about kids bullying them in school and they've got all the stress walking in, it's an immediate opportunity for them to just relax and start the day like that. The results have been amazing, and they continue to be. And there are studies done with Harvard and University of California, on and on, numerous studies that show measurable results in all these populations of children, adolescents, adults, teachers, so on and so forth.
I know we've seen a tremendous increase in kids being diagnosed with ADHD. Mm-hmm. Of course, we hear a lot more about depression, either mild forms of it or very extreme bipolar. And I have to think on some level, too, some of the substance use disorders. And listen, we're in the middle of an epidemic with heroin addiction.
Absolutely.
And, you know, listen, addiction in general is still there. Mm-hmm. Tons of people still die from alcoholism or alcoholism related injuries and things like that. How do you see this type of program trying to get into maybe lower things of that nature? How do you see parents that have kids with ADHD? Let's use a simple example, yeah, right? The kids are always hyper, just bouncing all over the place. What are some of the things that you suggest to parents, or some of the skill sets that you give them?
Well, we're suggesting that they educate themselves on the awareness that meditate, don't medicate.
That's a great line.
It really is. And it's all too often that people are just relying on Ritalin or whatever other medications that they're giving children at such young ages. And then it becomes something that they're dependent upon. And who knows what happens after that.
There might be a parallel connection to what we're dealing
Absolutely.
With now. Sure.
So opportunities for them at a younger level. And it's never too early to start. At our age, and you know, for people to distance from analytical thinking and overthinking, to not worry as much, to be able to sort things out. It's finding that peace within.
Right, because a lot of people will project things that are not even in the realm of reality.
Correct.
But that projection or that perception becomes their reality.
Absolutely.
And increases the stress level. And then there's a transference sometimes too, right? Because do you work with like families in general? Because, you know, lots of times kids learn what they live, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you intervene on that level?
Well, it's the family environment collectively can be very challenging. We suggest that it's divided up a little bit more, because the kids are not going to be as apt to really be as transparent with their parents around. So, but what you just mentioned is very important. Children and adults, we have a tendency of knee-jerk reacting to things in our life. If somebody disses you, or if somebody makes you feel less than, right, we respond, react in a certain way. Mindfulness allows us to be able to respond to things. We respond in a way that is conducive to our well-being. So you, in other words, you've given yourself some time to sort it out, and you make a decision within, do I really want to attach myself to this negative environment? And it's an ability to really just make decisions in your life that are based on.
So you're teaching them to be more proactive as opposed to being reactive.
Absolutely.
Because better decisions are certainly made when you're proactive, because you're reflective and you're thinking more long term as opposed to the short term.
Instead of the knee-jerk reactions,
right?
Correct.
From a school system standpoint, mm-hmm, this show centers on what schools do on a day in and mm-hmm day out basis. Mm-hmm. How do you implement programs that schools could see measurable benefits, either for staff, but mainly for students?
Well, there are more and more schools now actually getting more involved in this. And it's very interesting, because I've spoken to a lot of, I come from a family of educators. My parents were retired teachers. My sister and brother, cousins are all over. William Floyd, Patchogue, Mineola, Middle Country, they're all over. I went to college for business. and now things have reversed. But with respect to the school districts, it's something that I've heard that there are school districts that have actually handed out pamphlets to the teachers and said, okay, here you go. Here's mindfulness. You guys figure it out. And a number of the teachers are just baffled. Okay, they have a brochure, they have a pamphlet, and they're trying to figure this out and try to incorporate it. So what we do is we have an organized curriculum that is customizable to either reach every student. Like, for example, William Floyd, there's 8,700 students, there's 5 elementary, there's 2 junior high schools, a high school, where everything can be broken down to each child, each young adult can be reached effectively.
Okay. And when we come back from the break, we'll explore more on how you can help large systems, small systems. Mm-hmm. You take part in professional development with the staff of the school districts and how school districts and thereby communities can benefit. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, and we're streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. And don't forget, like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools, to suggest a program, club, or activity that your school or kids are involved in. And they may be the next one right here in our spotlight. And you're going to also see some really cool photos from past shows and also links to past episodes. And you can also get them at linewsradio.com. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with Steve Antirante of Solutions and Mindfulness Meditation. And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live right here on linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. We're continuing our conversation with Steve Antirante from Solutions. And Steve is a mindfulness meditation coach. And we're talking about how mindfulness as a program could help benefit children and adults alike in school systems, in home settings, in the corporate professional world. It's really, you know, the way you were describing it earlier, you know, there's a lot of chatter in our brain every day, right? You know, you got the news on in the background and they have the little banner going on the bottom of the screen, and you're looking at your phone for your email or text, and then the social media, Twitter, you know, we have all of this outside noise just really clogging up our brain. And there's studies, you know, people, you know, their sleep is being impacted. And if you don't sleep right, it's impacting your health and blood pressure. And just, you know, people don't realize what stress does to the body. And really, exactly. You know, it's kind of a silent killer, you know, because it really will slowly erode. And by teaching people skill sets on how to calm down, relax, just take a breath. You know, I have a busy schedule with, you know, work and being on a school board and doing a radio show. And, you know, I have an expression, I work hard, play hard, but, you know, I'll do a lot of camping. And I don't do anything when I'm camping. I'm just sitting there. I'm watching the kids play in the field, or I'm just sitting by the fire and watching the embers and everything else. And to me, that's my downtime so I could recharge and then get going for the next level. And if I can't, you know, get away camp, you know, I have a fire pit in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Just to, like you said, just to clear out the all that outside stimuli. Mm-hmm. And just relax. Mm-hmm. And just calm down. And but we're talking about with students and school systems, and, you know, I'm president of the Board of Education at William Floyd, and it's a large school system, fourth largest in Suffolk County. And listening to you speak, you know, not only a benefit for students, but, you know, I could see a lot of professional development that you could impose to help staff deal with classroom management techniques. And you know, education has been turned upside down the last several years. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Common Core and mm-hmm. the horrible rollout, changes to APPR. Mm-hmm. Lord knows what's going to happen with funding from year to year, what Albany's going to do to change, you know, what the teacher's doing in the classroom, or what Washington, D.C. thinks. It's a really stressful time to be in education and to be an administrator in education. I think these people are slightly insane, too, because, you know, people sit there and say, oh, it's the greatest jobs in the world and everything else. You know, seeing it up close and personal, there's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And every day, at some form or another, you're dealing with some level of crisis management when you're dealing with several hundred kids in a building, you know, 2,500 kids at a high school. You're dealing with some level of crisis management. So how can you, from a professional development standpoint, from a systematic standpoint, deal with professional staff who have to be really at the top of their game to help the kids so that the kids aren't stressing out, like, again, transferring their stress within the classroom and dealing with classroom management?
It was a great question, Bob, and very well set up, as a matter of fact. Well, the teachers are human beings, too. They have their own life, and they have a lot of things going on prior to they even get walking through the doors of the school. So they're bringing that in. What mindfulness meditation does is, for an individual, whether you're a teacher or you're in any profession for that matter, is it's an individual practice that allows you to distance from complexities for short periods of time, which allow you to balance. So you're taking that, earlier you mentioned it was perfect, external stimuli, where we are helping people to be in the present moment. If you're not in the present moment, you're either worrying about something in the future, what could happen, what could if I show up late, or if this kid fails the test, if my superintendent comes in and observes me and I'm not having such a great day, all these stresses, to learning how to, either in the future or obsessing about things in the past. The past is the past. These are lessons that we learn about ourselves, so on and so forth. So we teach people how to be in the present moment. What's going on right now? The techniques are simple. We can't make this too complicated for people. It's very simple, but it's extremely effective. Be in the present moment. What's happening right now? How do I breathe? What is it like to feel just to breathe? What does it feel like just to exist without thinking? When we're in that moment, whether you're at your fire pit or you're at doing these special things that you love, or even going for a walk for that matter, right. Mindfulness meditation is an opportunity for you just to sit down in a chair, find a quiet spot for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even during the course of the day, just to basically rein in, rebalance, get that energy field focused to where you're not being stretched in one direction or the other. And the results are that you can be more focused. And the word is acceptance. We need to accept that life is going to be challenging, and it is. You have all these external stimuli and these issues that are going to be challenging. It's our power and our ability is to respond is up to us. In other words, you can't control what's going on around you.
Right. Do you find nowadays, particularly with social media, and I say often, you know, people try to live that perfect Facebook life is what I call it, mm-hmm. right? You know, you're always going to the best restaurant. You're having the best time. The kids are absolute gems and angels and life is just perfect. You know, and you see this and, you know, life for the most part is pretty boring, challenging, and there's probably more failures than there are successes.
Correct.
And lots of times I think you learn more from a failure, but some people will dwell on that failure.
Correct.
And then, you know, it erodes at the self-confidence. So the role of social media, I think, is a double-edged sword. How do you deal with somebody that's heavily involved in that to try to still maintain benefit from it, but, you know, have a healthy disconnect so that, again, you can clear that mind and clear that chatter?
I think it's defining who you are as opposed to this false sense of self. Sometimes with people utilizing social media, they're trying to display selfies and how many likes that I get. And that all comes from a sense of self-love, self-worth.
Self-confidence.
Confidence and esteem and that sort of thing. So on a younger level with the children, we try to build that up right away before they start really layering the complexities of life. So they're walking into life a little bit more focused and a little bit more self-confident.
And what would you say to, you know, because again, listening to you talk, and we're talking about the education setting and the children and the teachers mm-hmm. and the administrators, there's probably benefits on a corporate level as well.
Oh, absolutely. I work with several corporations, including Brookhaven National Lab and employees like that, just to help them because everybody's got some level of stress going on. It's how we choose to manage it. And the statement that I made in the earlier segment of distance from multitasking and monotask. Monotask on just basically focusing on yourself, your inner self.
And give me an example of something that you would give me as a practice or skill set to say, okay, when this is going on and you've got 10 minutes to go away,
yeah.
Here's something that you should
great.
Do.
Very simple. You make the intention that you're just going to just to be. Just be. The name of my website is Just Be Within. So you have the intention of saying, I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes just focusing on my breath without trying to think. It's almost like shaking a snow globe, and all the flakes represent all the thoughts that go through your mind. And research is telling us that we have upwards of 60,000 thoughts per day, and there are only 64,000 seconds in a day. So that means the brain's really working very over-adrenalized. You have the intention to sit in a quiet place and just relax and just chill. You focus on your breath. You focus on how the air enters into your body, the rhythm of your body. You find your heartbeat. You find the warmness in your face, the warmness in your fingertips. In other words, you're using your senses to anchor yourself within so your mind does not take you away on a thought story.
So if somebody comes to you from a school system and says, you know, we're really having issues with classroom management, you know, whatever grade level, I often think of middle school because kids are going through so much of a transition at that age in sixth, seventh and eighth grade. And you had your perfect opportunity to do some professional development with a teacher. Where would you start and what would you say to the teacher? Here's how you could measure outcomes to notice a difference. What would be some of the things they could look for to see if it's having an impact?
Things that they can look for. Well, first off, we would try to educate immediately the teachers on what mindfulness is and for them to understand the process and then assist them in their classroom individually or in a collective, maybe an auditorium setting, maybe five classes at a time or whatever, particularly with large school districts. However, the smaller the group, the more effectiveness. What will happen is that they can literally start the class, even if it's only a 40-minute class, 45-minute, they could spend 2 or 3 minutes in the beginning just having all the students just quiet their mind, settle in. That initially will get the students become more focused. And then they'll notice over a period of time and the results have been measurable where the grades are increasing. The kids are getting better sleep. They're kinder to each other. They're more mindful of everything around them as well as within them.
And I love the line you said earlier in the first segment, meditate, don't medicate.
Yes.
Because again, I think as a society, my opinion, we over-medicate. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn more about Steve's program and how he may be assistance to you either as an individual or corporate or within a school, justbewithin.com. Steve Antirante, a mindfulness meditation coach, and it's Solutions. And Steve, I thank you very much. It's been very insightful. I knew absolutely nothing about this, but you know, some common sense techniques of just calming down, relaxing, be aware of who you are and what stresses you out and giving you some skill sets so that you can be mindful and be productive going forward. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. And again, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. This is Bob Vecchio saying thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.